You're listening to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today we're going to be discussing this idea of, does our guilt point to the existence of God?
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. 1 Minute
Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions, to give a defense.
So Bobby, last week we were kind of giving some updates about what was going on at OMA, what's been happening over the last year, and one of the things that you mentioned was finishing up your PhD work that you've been kind of trucking through here, hoping to finish it up before the end of the year or the first part of next year, kind of have it all wrapped up and done. But I was hoping that you could kind of summarize some of the stuff that you've been working on and maybe give us some of the, not intimate details, but just give us a little bit more information about what you've been working on.
Sure. My research has been focused on the moral argument. Now, there are many different types of moral arguments that have been given. Excuse me, listener. There are different versions of the moral argument that have been given. Immanuel Kant, we know his stuff with his categorical imperative.
Which is one of the most popular videos on our channel. So if you don't know what the categorical imperative is, go over to YouTube, search it. We'll be the first one there. You can check it out.
Yeah, it's crazy that that is one of the most listened to ones, but that's great. You had different people like Sorley, or on a popular level, C.S. Lewis has a moral argument, a version of it, and Mere Christianity. As a person who has been a pastor for so many years, I always felt that the moral issues of philosophy intrigued me the most. It hits home. Even William Lane Craig, his favorite argument is the cosmological argument, which he has deemed the Kalam cosmological argument. But he knows that the most effective argument is the moral argument. And I wanted to give a version of it myself, and in particular with a focus on guilt. And so the question that I've been thinking about for the last several years is, you know, what is the explanation that an atheist would give for guilt? Why does an atheist even experience guilt? And this has led me into studies with Charles Darwin and his Descent of Man, where I've looked at his argument for why it is we feel guilt, the fact that we are reasoning beings, rational animals with reflective capacity. Because we reason, we can reflect back on incidences that we've had as it relates to decisions we've made and the things that we shouldn't have done, so to speak,
right,
that made us feel guilty. We learn for the sake of survival of the fittest that I won't do that. I reflect that when I do this, this limits my survival capacity, so I won't do that. So he did see that humans are distinct from animals, and morality was that distinguishing feature. And what makes us distinguish is that we are rational, and that we can reflect on the decisions that we make and therefore make better decisions. He was blinded to the fact that he was influenced by the utilitarianism of his day. And Friedrich Nietzsche, who would write in his Genealogy of Morals, he would come hard against those who were basically atheists that did not take morality to its logical conclusion, that, you know, there is no morality. And so for him, with his Übermensch, viewpoint, that you can be an overcomer, the Superman. He believed that the will to power, right? You need to just do what you need to do. And it's kind of a very much of an egoistic view of morality.
Yeah.
And so for him, guilt was produced by, just the church by and large being oppressive to the slave class, and they need to have their eyes open and come free of that and recognize that that guilt isn't real. You've just had this imposed on you, and you need to recognize that you feel false guilt. And then it led me into Freud, and Freud gets into his own display of why it is that we feel guilt. He was very intrigued by the concept of guilt as well. And I interact with these different atheists, and I've considered neuroscience and what it has to have to say about some of this, but ultimately I ended up with a philosophical argument that I developed where I argue philosophically from guilt up to God.
So do you have that argument for us? Can you?
Yeah, can I help you out a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to talk to them about my argument?
I will after you lay it out. We can continue to talk about it, but that's good.
Yeah, well, basically, the argument goes like this, Tim. If universal objective moral guilt feelings exist, then the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. Now, I'll say it again because note, in the first half of the premise, I talk about feelings, where in the latter half, I don't. If universal objective moral guilt feelings exist, then the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. Premise two, universal objective moral guilt feelings exist. Therefore, the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. Then I kind of shift into more of a deductive argument. So I use kind of an abductive argument and a deductive argument. The abductive argument is in the first two premises that I just shared, followed by its conclusion that the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. But then I shift to a deductive argument where I say, if universal objective moral guilt exists, then there is a personal, all-knowing moral lawgiver. And then I conclude, therefore, there is a personal, all-knowing moral lawgiver. Now, let me distinguish between abductive and deductive argumentation.
Please.
An abductive argument is where one argues to the best explanation. So we look at the range of different moral facts that are to be explained. And we as Christians would contend that Christianity best explains the mental the moral furniture in need of explanation.
Right.
And it's more, as David Baggett, the great moral philosopher, talks about, it's more of a modest argument, the abductive. It argues to the best explanation. But the deductive argument, that would argue with premises moving to a conclusion that if the premises are true, then it follows necessarily that the conclusion is true. So starting with the first premise in the abductive portion of my argument, if universal objective moral guilt feelings exist, then the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. So here I contend that guilt feelings are ubiquitous. They're universal. And I'm trying to contend then also that this is a timeless situation, that people throughout history have experienced the moral phenomenon of the problem of guilt. Now, I have objections that I have to deal with that I get into. I'll give you one, for example, the psychopath objection. Some would say, well, there's no such thing as universal objective guilt feelings because of the psychopath that exists who do not experience guilt feelings.
Yeah, so there goes your, everybody has this. It's not universal, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what some would contend.
Yeah.
In fact, when I shared some of my argument at the University of Birmingham in England, I met this objection in my presentation. But I explained that the psychopath does not eliminate universal objective moral guilt feelings. In the same way that I'm colorblind, Tim, I do not see colors the way that a normal person does. So what do? Do I say that objective color doesn't exist? No, I recognize that there's a deficiency in my eyesight. And so I trust my wife and my kids to help me get dressed properly all the time. In the same way, a psychopath, while they do not have the capacity to feel guilt, and as you know, we've recently interviewed David Wood. I was going to say David Baggett. David Wood, who is a professed psychopath, who took a hammer to his father's head, thought he left him for dead. He ended up with brain damage. He felt no guilt about it. And I ended up telling David how much I admire his Christian faith because I said, you don't have the resource of guilt feelings to help you in your sanctification. But his sanctification to me is so deep, and it's to be commended because while he doesn't feel guilt, he still recognizes guilt. He recognizes what he did to his father was morally wrong, and therefore he was guilty and deserved to go to prison. So David is like me as a psychopath, as a person being colorblind. I don't recognize color. He doesn't feel guilt, but it doesn't eliminate that objective color exists, nor does it eliminate the fact that there is such a thing as objective right and wrong. So my first principle, if universal objective moral guilt feelings exist, then the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. Leads me to premise two, universal objective moral guilt feelings exist. I go on to argue for that, then contend, therefore the best explanation is that universal objective moral guilt exists. So basically, in this portion of my argument, I am arguing that as it relates to our guilt feelings, that the best explanation for this would be that our guilt feelings are trying to get our attention for a particular type of God. And that is what I talk about in the deductive argument.
Okay. So and I think that's a really important distinction that you make between the abductive and the deductive argument, because a lot of the objections are going to come to things like, well, you can't demonstrate that specifically, like you can't necessarily investigate that in the laboratory, like you could color. So that's why when you're looking at kind of the whole range of possibilities of what kind of explanations would you use, you use the abductive to say Christianity is the one that kind of fits this best. So now move on to the kind of deductive piece of this. What's some of the more deductive premises?
So now that we're contending for the fact that this objective moral guilt and the feelings of it exist, I then transition to my deductive argument, where I argue if universal objective moral guilt exists, then there is a personal, all-knowing moral lawgiver. Now, notice I'm not talking about guilt feelings at this stage. I believe that our guilt feelings should correspond to our guilt actions. There's false guilt and there's, you know, authentic guilt.
Right.
So people can feel guilty and not be guilty, but it's possible, like David would, people can be guilty and not feel guilty.
Right.
But I get into a lot more detail, obviously, in my argument. It's, been vetted by David Baggett. I'm so thankful who took time to help critique my argument, and Yuji Nagasawa and David Cheatham. And it's been something that's been looked at. There's lots of stuff to make sure that it's tight. So I'm not getting into all of that here. But notice what I'm doing now. If universal objective moral guilt exists, well, if our guilt feelings are to help us to understand that there's real objective guilt out there, what can it tell us about the kind of God that exists? And this is where I argued deductively that this is a God that would be personal, all-knowing, and a moral lawgiver. Now, what do I mean by personal? Our guilt feelings, when we experience it, it doesn't feel like moral Platonism, as if I've sinned against some abstract, floating moral value. It rather feels personal. When I sin, it feels like somebody's been watching. Somebody's been peeking through the curtain into the window of my moral world, inviting me to consider that what I have done is wrong. In fact, I've even added to this, and I'm thinking about this now, this might be a late addition of my argument that I'm looking at here. I talk about God being good, that he must be personal, right? So it seems personal, but it also must mean that God's good. Why is that? Because guilt pings when we've done something bad.
Right.
What's going on there? Well, it's a personal God who is pinging us through guilt that we have acted unfashionably, immorally, out of alignment with him. So the moral argument that I've developed, Tim, would say that God's personal. And when we feel that sense of guilt, we often are wanting to confess. Well, what do we want to confess to? A moral Platonic virtue? No.
No.
To a personal God? We recognize that he's good, and that's why we're saying, I'm sorry, God. The other component that I talk about is that God is all-knowing. Now, why would I say that? God is all-knowing. Well, what I'm arguing for, that if universal guilt exists, then God would have to have universal knowledge of our guilt, because he could not hold us accountable unless there was this universal knowledge of our guilt.
Okay.
So what makes God the rightful judge of our guilt is he's all-knowing. He knows each individual. It's not like he's got his eye on half the population sins and the other get a free pass to live it up.
Yeah.
It's not like some get to wear the ring of Gyges or to put on the ring of Frodo and become invisible. I think about that, you know, how would I live if I had an invisible ring, or if I didn't feel guilt? Would I still be morally motivated to honor God? And it really gets to the core of why it is that I do what I do. And I would then say that he's a moral lawgiver. So if universal objective moral guilt exists, then there is a personal, good, all-knowing moral lawgiver. That is to say that this God has given his moral law to us. It's built in. A lot of people talk about where morality comes from our upbringing, from our parents, through our education, through our evaluations.
Right.
And I would say, while all of that can contribute to us fashioning our moral ethic, what we realize is that our conscience is the way that God speaks to us as a moral lawgiver. C.S. Lewis, in his Abolition of Man, in his appendix, has a great list of how cross-culturally that the moral values that are shared are by and large universal in the big ideas of morality. Yes, the particular details of how you apply the ethics look different, but the big ideas of, you know, not stealing from people and doing these things are shared universally. And so then I conclude, therefore, there is a personal, all-knowing moral lawgiver who exists. So what I try to do in this argument is to begin with this idea that, listen, we have this sensation of guilt feelings.
Right.
These guilt feelings are telling us that we've broken a moral law, therefore we're objectively guilty. And we experience this universally. And what best explains the range of what's happening here? What best explains this experience? Well, I think that the best explanation for our guilt beyond atheism is that there is a personal, good, all-knowing moral lawgiver. That's my argument.
Well, there is a lot to chew on there. And there's a number of things that aren't in there as far as supporting premises, but I think you did a great job of kind of laying out all the different details. And so I'm sure in the future we'll continue to talk about some of those different pieces. We'll talk about how each one of those premises are supported and what might some of the objections be as you continue to work on your PhD and hopefully finish it up shortly. So thank you for laying that out. And
Tim, I think that's true. In the future, we will talk more about this. I hope to get this published when it's done. And spend many, many, many episodes talking about the moral argument, the different versions of the moral argument, which argument's my favorite moral argument. And by the way, can I just put a plug in, because I love networking. I love sharing other people's ministries. David Baggett's ministry, moralapologetics.com. If you're not familiar with it, it's a wonderful ministry. He's one of my moral philosopher heroes. He is brilliant, humble, thoughtful, and I love his approach, and he's just got such a wonderful website, and I just want to steer all of our listeners to go that direction and start reading some of those articles and subscribe to his work.
Yeah, definitely. So check out his stuff and continue to check out our stuff as well, and we will be back here next week. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. If you want to help spread the word, please leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends about this resource. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel and blog for more credible answers to curious questions.